This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Do you like Cabali at all? I don't really like him.
We were trying to discuss in the press box as I was leaving last night. Mark and I were talking the Patrick Queen pregame coin toss decision from Tomlin. Has he ever done that before?
That was great.
Mark thinks he has, and I was asking
like a
him,
petty coin toss participant?
Yeah, I was asking him if he could think of it because he's been here forever, and he couldn't off the top of his head. So he told me to look into it, and I said, I don't know how to research that. I don't know how to look up the Steelers coin toss participants game by game, season by season.
That's got to be listed somewhere.
I guess you could go back through. Actually, I don't know if they would list the people in the semicircle before the game.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's
they
kind
keep
of a
every
weird
other
way.
Stat.
That's why you need institutional knowledge that I thought Mark may have had, and he let me down.
Well, we introduce him each week as Steelers apologist Mark Cabali. I really do like him.
I just don't know.
Very lovable character.
In the 6 years I've been covering the team, I can't recall Tomlin doing anything like that.
It was tremendous, and it was part of what Tomlin did. Like everything he did this week leading up and in the game seemingly worked. You could have told Queen to tamper it down a little. He seemed to play it up, and Queen responded with a great game.
And we found out afterward he got a game ball, too.
A petty game ball, they
call
it.
So we're starting to get more of the ingredients of the hot dog that Mike Tomlin didn't want to reveal.
I like that.
Earlier this year. One. Thank you, City
or
Limits.
Or would.
Johnny on
Try
the spot.
Us. Try us. We might like the ingredients.
We're liking it. We're liking the Patrick Queen coin flip routine. And, you know, they also gave him the single-digit jersey number, which was a first for the Steelers. And kind of a first. Pseudo-first. So they really like him. And, man, did he play well yesterday.
Great game from him. Now,
where do we go from here, Joe? We talk about so much in between the segments that we always end up forgetting. So I think we still.
Well, I know we had a debate on Cabali in between segments.
We had the pony.
His likability, his unlikability.
City Limits did the pony super cut.
Yeah. Well, we promised the Cabali cut from earlier today with the morning show where he took Adam Crowley way off guard with this take. Check this out.
You're sitting here right now basically saying this version of the Steelers is more complete than 05, 08, and 2010.
Yeah, because I do, because those teams were flawed in some ways. I'm not saying this team's not flawed. That team, you had bigger question marks. I mean, like I said, in 05, the defense was solid, but you had to say, okay, is the quarterback going to be able to lead us? If they take the run game away, are they going to be able to throw the ball? I mean, you didn't know. I mean, that 8-10 team, they couldn't run. They were some of the worst running teams, worst offensive lines you've ever saw it before. That's not quite the case. I'm not saying this team is great, but when you compare them across the board, I think they're the most balanced team that I've probably seen, mind you, through 10 games.
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. But when they needed to throw in 2005, Ben went into Cincinnati, Indy against Peyton Manning in Denver, and lit them up like a Christmas tree. I'll take prime Ben, or even a little bit pre-prime Ben, over Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson has been, you know, somewhat of a revelation for the Steelers. And I could go up and down. I don't agree with him on that. Do you?
No, I'm not ready to go there yet. And by and large, yes, through four games, Russell Wilson's been a lot better than I expected. Certainly better quarterback play than they'd had in the post-Ben era, and maybe even better than 2021 Ben in his final season. But if we use every game as kind of an evaluation or referendum, whatever you want to call it, I'm a little bit more down on the passing offense after yesterday than I was going into it, for sure. It was inconsistent, absolutely.
What do you think of the idea of putting Justin Fields in the red zone, particularly the deep red zone, a little more often, especially based on what we saw yesterday, Brian.
I like it. I like it because while Russell Wilson's deep ball is still very much a strength of his, and you know it's been a trump card at times for this offense to win games in the clutch, I think you can still kind of see when a team really puts an emphasis on heating him up and getting pressure to him, like we saw yesterday from the Ravens, doesn't really have that first step that he used to have or any younger man would have to maybe escape. Justin Fields, we know he has that. The touch on the throws and the accuracy and the going through the progressions, that comes and goes, but the mobility has always been there for him, and you saw it in the two carries that he got yesterday. You wish you would have seen it for one additional yard, and we could have all breathed a little bit easier getting our stories done at the end of that game. But yeah, I think that's a viable option for them going forward. I mean, he was just such a cheat code in those six games he started when they got in close, and he was able to pull the ball, beat everybody to the edge or the corner or the pylon for six.
I saw a number today. Now I can't remember where it was. In the Athletic, perhaps. Russell Wilson, for all the good things he's done, is 7-for-24 in the red zone. That's 29%. Now, I would argue, like yesterday, he's had a ton of throwaways. He had four throwaways yesterday. Should have had five. He had four. And Justin Fields was 13 of 19. That's 68% with no interceptions in the red zone. And more importantly, you get his running skills. I think I wouldn't mind seeing Justin get snaps, especially when they're down around the 7-6-3 yard line. You?
Yeah, at least until we see that Russell Wilson's got some more of the mobility. I mean, he had a couple decent keeps yesterday where he looked spry, but I was always worried about that going back to the preseason calf injury with him. Is he going to be capable of doing a lot of those things? And Mike Tomlin's been blatantly clear about, no, they're not the same when it comes to that aspect of their games. But at what point does the balance go from we can live with it to we need a little bit of help from number two in that? And eventually you can potentially use that to set things up, open it up for Fields. Is he going to run it every time, or is he capable of throwing it over the top and give defenses something else to think about that way?
Yeah, back to the Kabali point for a minute. Let's just take the 08 Steelers. Was Lawrence Timmons on the team then? I think he was. Of course he was. It was Farrier, Foote, Woodley, Harrison, and Timmons were all on that team. Then you had Willie Parker, you had Santonio Holmes, Hines, Heath Miller, who's better than Freiermuth, Ben. Come on. I'm sorry. You had Troy. Was he the defensive player of the year? No, that was 2010. I'm just not buying it overall. But this team can still prove themselves to be very worthy, including Super Bowl worthy. And here's my overall point, Brian. I felt like this coming out of the Washington game, like at the time it was these last nine games, eight games, whatever it was. They're going to lose some. It's very tough. But I'm secure in the knowledge that they can compete with anybody. And that separates this team from many of Tomlin's recent ones. Like, it's one thing to be in it. It's another thing to be in it and know that you can beat. Like, if there were a playoff game next weekend against Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, whoever, I feel like the Steelers would have a legit chance to win. Even if they had lost that game yesterday on a Tucker kick, whatever, they're going to lose some of these down the stretch. I think that's the biggest news of all, is that the Steelers are legit.
I don't disagree with you in a one-game playoff or postseason or what have you, but I still worry about the ability to run through the whole gauntlet of the AFC
when I watch
guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Oh, I accidentally mentioned Josh Allen before Mahomes. Uh-oh. I need to get pinged on that one.
Limits,
from somebody.
Why don't you play for Brian your prediction from Friday? Whenever I'm wrong or right, he doesn't make any clips. He clipped his own prediction from Friday, but it was pretty good, Brian. Listen.
Allen cements himself as the guy that should be the favorite for the MVP in this game, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs with no wide receivers in this game.
Cements himself as the favorite? Well,
he puts himself ahead.
If Lamar has a bad game, you're right. All right. There it is. Josh Allen cements the MVP case, his MVP case.
Both prongs of the two-prong prediction there by City Limits held up. So, yeah, but my point overall is, I just feel like the quarterback play that those teams get consistently from the true just freaks of nature at the position in the league right now, it gives you so much more margin for error. It doesn't mean you're going to win a game. Doesn't mean you're going to blow a game. The Steelers, I still want to see more. I need to see more from Russell Wilson, the passing offense. Can they get into those shootouts if they have to go through more than one of those teams? In a one-game sample, yes, I think everything could go right like we saw yesterday, defensively and special teams-wise, and you can knock them off. But I still don't have them in that tier just yet.
Me neither. It's not a prediction by any means, and it would be very tough to run through two of them. But they can legitimately have their eyes on a number one seed right now.
Yeah.
On the number one seed, certainly on a home playoff game. And I feel like in any one of those games, they could win. They really could. But I also thought we got a little sampling of Russ yesterday. I mean, come on. We watched Russ, and then we watched Mahomes and Allen. Does he give them a better chance than Fields or anybody else around here lately?
Probably.
Absolutely, yeah. In my mind. But he's not them.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't win, because maybe their defense outperforms them. But he's not them. That was watching the cream of the crop right there, was watching Mahomes and Allen.
And Joe Burrow was really good again. He doesn't have a defense to prop him up whatsoever.
Man, are they
Cincinnati.
Tragic.
But I still, I don't think those Bengals games are going to be easy for the Steelers here.
Not at all.
Down the stretch either. And we haven't even talked about the Browns, who they play in, 72 hours here. I don't think they're very good. They seem completely checked out even maybe. But if there were ever a quarterback who could provide some vibes and get the fine, hearty folks of Northeast Ohio going, maybe Jameis Winston in a one-off can at least rustle up something Thursday night. That has been a house of horrors for them.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Brian, you had a very interesting interview. Did you get Deontay one-on-one yesterday? And did he run backwards out of the locker room? Did he misrun his route? I saw him for two plays yesterday, and they both looked weird. Both of them looked odd, just like so many picket plays with him. It was like, wait, what happened there? Was there a miscommunication? On the second one, Charles Davis on CBS said, you got to give your guy more room there, your quarterback. He ran a fade to the sideline. He didn't leave any sideline. And next thing you know, I didn't see Deontay again the rest of the day. What kind of mood was he in after the game? How did that go? Did you get him alone?
I did, yeah. There weren't many people clamoring to talk to him after the two-target, zero-catch game. Baltimore reporters, all credit to them, they had other things to do and people to see. So
there were more significant factors, like Tomlin said?
As one might say, yes. Other people had captured their attention from that game. But he was in a fine mood. He talked to Tomlin and a bunch of players on the field. I was watching with my binoculars from the press box to see that, and pregame, you know, big hug with Danny Smith and Minka and Joey Porter Jr., DeMonte Casey. Did I say Minka? Had a nice little hug from him pregame. We know what went on between those two last year. I still thought it was interesting, even though he isn't much of a piece of the puzzle right now for the Ravens. He said that he's trying to take advantage of the very few opportunities I get, is how he put it. So I did forget to ask him, was there a concerted effort to maybe try to get him involved early in that game, get the juices flowing, maybe a little payback? I don't know. He said all the right things for the most part. He said the fans were talking crazy to him, telling him he was, I actually was surprised. He said they were telling him he's in the wrong colors. He's on the wrong team. I thought they might say good riddance, but maybe he just didn't want to relay that. He said it didn't bother him much. And he also said you never know what the future holds. So it seemed like he was leaving the door open. Maybe come back to where the grass was greener.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
I think the Steelers would probably say the same thing, but everybody has a price.
That's fantastic. And our friend City Limits here suggested that the Ravens, I mean, if he was actually part of the game plan, like
it seemed
like he was.
I mean, he started.
I think he would have still been in it, though, even after those two plays. Limits suggested that they were trying to get a little bit of emotion going and a little petty ball early by getting Deontay involved.
Maybe, and maybe if he doesn't, or maybe if he's a little more precise, run the red line. I guess someone should have asked Lamar, did he run the red line?
Run the red line, Limits.
Did he run the red line? Maybe he would have been more involved from there. But he was inconsequential yet again for the Ravens. It is early, three games in. I asked him if he hopes he'll be a bigger part of it next time they play the Steelers week 16. He said, of course, he hopes he is. I asked him what Mike Tomlin told him after the game, and he kind of just laughed. And I said, I know he had to have something funny to say given that reaction. And he said, no, it was just all love from him and the other guys. So no hard feelings.
That's a very nice story.
He said the front office, he thinks the front office was mainly behind the decision to trade him. They thought it was best for the organization.
Which it was.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, the red line.
The red line limits. And I also praised what you said. I know you were busy back there with the boss for a moment. I praised what you said to Brian.
I did hear that, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome. We're going to Duquesne today. Wonder what Brian thinks of that.
We are.
Tell him why.
We have a big basketball video that we're shooting with our guy Ben Tenuta. We're going to Duquesne to play horse with Megan McConnell.
Me and Limits and Megan McConnell for a game of horse. Who wins, Brian?
I've heard good things about your shooting, Joe.
Yeah.
Never seen City Limits, but I know he hoops a decent amount. Clearly, I'm taking Megan McConnell.
Good pick.
She is an active college athlete and very good for the Dukes. So
this is going to be gigantic.
It's more a question of who finishes last.
I have one big question. I think I'll probably finish last. Are we shooting the 28-5 balls or the 29-5 balls? Are we shooting the girls basketball? Or are we
using the same ball?
Whatever she's shooting is what we're shooting. And little does she know, or they know, that I have the shot from behind the backboard mastered. I also have a lethal left-handed game. Is she a righty or a lefty?
She's a righty.
So she's going to have to make a couple of short jump hooks bankers with the left hand.
Well, the offhand.
Yes.
That's a tricky one.
I've got a little Kent Benson in my name.
The savvy old horsehound.
Or in my game. I think that Megan may not know Kent Benson, but Dan Burt, he's the coach over there. He'll know. He'll know Kent.
Number
Benson.
One overall pick, correct?
Yeah. Right, yep. Out of Indiana.
That's about all I know about him.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We have a request here for ponies. Three questions together. Brian Bacco of the Post Gazette wants to hear a super pony cut. His three questions as he popped up out of nowhere at the Tomlin News Conference.
How do you evaluate your offense then in this game?
W.
What can you say about Queen?
You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, man. I'm glad he is on our team.
Mike, if somebody had said to you before the game you'd beat the Ravens without scoring a touchdown, what would your reaction have been?
Steelers-Ravens.
Brian?
That exchange kind of reminded me of like when your spouse is angry with you and you're still trying to like start some small talk at the end of the night or whatever, and most of the answers are very short and curt. One of them in the middle there, it's like maybe you said, what are our plans this weekend? So a little bit more expansive answer was needed, but yeah, it was mostly.
I thought the questions were outstanding, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, no issue with those. But Mike Tomlin, you never know where he's going in those pressers.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And the Fan Hotline presented, of course, by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's go real quick, Brian. Real quick. Quarterback, Ray Fittipaldo gives him a B-.
I'd go C+.
Yeah, I'm in that territory. I don't know, man. C. I'll go C to a C at best.
Okay.
That was a horrific decision. He did some things well, but I gotta knock it down for that. Running backs, he gives a B. What did they do wrong?
I was
Brian?
Gonna say I'd go B+. Najee had a drop. Oh, Cordarrelle Patterson looks like he doesn't have much juice left in the tank. That Colts game, it was a glimpse of maybe he can help later in the season, but I don't know.
Why? Did he have any opportunities yesterday?
He had one early and looked like he was just running in mud. Previous game, the kick returns did not look very fleet of foot. Mm. I like Cordero Patterson, but I don't think it's going to be anything other than the Najee-Jalen show here.
I mean, I thought Najee and Jalen ran hard, really hard, and fairly effectively for not having tons of room. They combined for 104 yards. I think Ray is very, very difficult there. Difficult grader. I give him an A-. Receiver, C+.
Buoyed mainly by George Pickens. Yeah, I might even go down to a C or C-. Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin were essentially invisible. Mike Williams was less than that. Ben Skoronek, 20 snaps. I guess he blocks his face off in there.
He caught a ball.
And he did catch a ball. That's right. He had one of the two catches not by George Pickens from a Steelers receiver.
Yeah, I'll go around to C for sure. Although Tomlin said that Mike Williams helped open up things like the pass over the middle to Mount Washington. O-line C.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I always trust Ray on the O-line.
Yeah, I'm right around to C. It was maybe a, all the penalties, maybe a C-. Defensive line A, of course, right?
Absolutely. Cam Hayward was like a middle hitter on that one that he batted down.
Dean Lowry came up big.
Dean Lowry is trending up.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I questioned the D-line depth. I didn't have Dean Lowry on my old bingo card. Linebackers, A+. Who could disagree with that?
A++.
Secondary, B+. I don't know, man. Okay, so Dante Jackson gave up a touchdown. This team scores a lot of touchdowns. I'm going A for the secondary.
Yeah, I'm good with an A.
Ray is very a harsh grader. Would you say he's a harsh professor?
Sometimes.
Special teams, A+.
Oh, absolutely. How could you say otherwise? Chris Boswell, the best in the game, hands
down. You couldn't. Coaching, he gives a B to the coaching. Ray, you got to give an A here. An A. You want to knock down Arthur Smith a little bit? Although I don't think he did anything wrong in the red zone. I give him an A.
B+.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.